Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask New People, AskNewPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app on Apple Podcasts, on Android, Spotify, or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Also, check out Off the Floor. That's our Discord server, $2.99 per month. We take episode suggestions from there. We also give you the latest information first before it goes to Twitter or anywhere else. And you can communicate with Heat fans all day long, even if we're not there. So check it out, Off the Floor. Link is right here in the description on the YouTube channel and the podcast feed. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. Includes Prize Picks, legal again in the state of Florida, but they've improved their promo. So if you use the code FIVE, that's FIVE, when you put down $5 to play, they hand you $50. No questions asked. Pretty good 10-to-1 match there. Gives you an opportunity to run around the app and see what you can find. Of course, all the different sports are there. NFL preseason's there. And of course, the NFL season starts right after Labor Day. So check it out, prizepicks.com. Use the code FIVE. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buck said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick, and follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick and Five Reasons Sports. I got Greg Sylvander. You can follow him at Greg Sylvander. As I mentioned, make sure you sign up for Off the Floor. We're going to be more active there leading up to the season. All right, what we're doing here over the next however many weeks, and we will mix in some other episodes as things come up, or as, you know, get the itch to do an X's and O's episode with Brady or Alex or something along those lines, giving Alex a little bit of a break this week, since he and I went on for about 3 hours talking about grades of various NBA teams. Well, we went through every NBA team and their offseason. So those are all up on the feed. You can review those. We figure those will be good all the way up until training camp. Well, these are good forever, or at least until somebody else comes along that cracks the top 40. So the Miami Heat are entering, I believe it's season 37. But that's not an even. So what we decided was we're going to do a top 40. I'm going to do a top 40 of players in Miami Heat history. And Greg and I are going to handle most of this because some of these players played before our two co-hosts were born. So we're going to handle this. We might bring on Sean Rochester for a couple of these, some of the older heads in our network who actually saw Tim Hardaway play for the Heat. So we're going to do these episodes, but we're going to break them down in either 4 or 8 player increments. And we're going to go from 1 down to 40. Now, we decided to do that because everybody knows who 1 is going to be. So there's really no suspense if you go that direction, and we'll get to it. But you kind of don't know who like 37 to 40 are going to be. And as we start to go through this list of players, you'll be like, wait a second. Where's this guy? Where's that guy? Is this player going to get onto the list? And so actually being like number 40 is going to be significant. It's like not like Mr. Irrelevant in the NFL, but it's actually, oh, he made the list. And we're going to try to compare these players across eras. But the key thing here, Greg, is we're ranking them based on what they did for the Heat. So there are players, obviously, who are in the Hall of Fame, and they played for the Heat, but they're not associated with the Heat. So for one, like, for instance, Gary Payton, okay, who contributed to the Heat, won a championship with the Heat. But to most people, he's a Sonic, okay? And he played for other teams, too. Ray Allen, who made arguably the biggest shot in NBA history while playing for the Heat, but to a lot of people, he's a Buck, he's a Sonic, he's a Celtic, etc. It doesn't mean he won't make the list. It just means we're not evaluating these players based on what they contributed overall to the NBA. We're just doing it based on what they did with the Miami Heat. Beyond that, there are no rules or restrictions. Like, I'm not going to say, okay, the guy has to have won a championship to be in the top this or has to have played this number of years. No, it's when you think about this player, and you think about like what he gave to the Miami Heat, where does he fit against the other players who played for the Miami Heat? And this franchise has a long enough history now that we're going to have some tough decisions once we get past about 30. So we'll get to that later. But today we're going to do the easy part, which is the top four. And it may not be the easiest when we get down to 3 or 4, but it's pretty easy at 1. So, Greg, I will let you start. And what we're going to do is we're not going to – I've seen Greg's list, kind of. I perused it. I have my own list sort of in my head. Greg's more prepared on these things than I am. But we're going to debate them, and then we'll come up with our shared four at the end of the episode. And if he wins one episode, then I'll win the next. That's kind of the way that we'll play this out. All right, so number 1. It's got to be Hassan Whiteside, right?
Exactly. You knew exactly where I was going. No, truthfully, who else could it be but Mr. Dwayne Wade? Do we really need to wax very much poetic about why it's Dwayne Wade? I don't think so. The championships, all of the other assists that have taken place, all of the other statistical measures, where he stands historically in the league himself, I think all of those things play into it. Dwayne Wade, number 1, moving on, right?
Right, yeah, but it's funny because for us, it's easy. For Heat fans, it's easy. But there is a group of LeBron stans out there and who were more fans of LeBron than they were of the Heat, right? And those people kind of adopted the Heat for a certain period of time. And those people will make the argument that, well, LeBron was the best player on the 4 Big 3 teams, which won 2 championships and made 4 finals. And even if he was the guy who blew it in 2011, whereas Dwayne would have been the MVP against the Mavericks if the Heat had won that series, it's hard to argue anything other than LeBron was he passed Dwayne. I mean, he passed Dwayne kind of before he came, sort of. Although Dwayne, you could argue 2008, 2009, 2009, 2010, especially 2008, 2009, was the best player in the world. You can make that argument. But as far as them playing together, there was a period of time where their numbers were kind of similar that first season. And then obviously Dwayne had the knee injuries and there needed to be, you know, someone to defer. Dwayne was the one who deferred in salary and other ways and obviously on the court. But there is a LeBron stan crew that would say, okay, how do you rank a guy number 1 overall in your franchise's history when he wasn't the best player on his own team during the period of time when the franchise won 2 of its 3 championships? And I'll tell those people to just shut the hell up. Basically, I mean, as much as it was an honor to watch LeBron, you know, as a reporter, home and road, for 4 years and see you know, one of the two best players of all time at the peak of his powers. Dwayne is the franchise. Dwayne has continued to be the franchise. He doesn't need ownership of the franchise to be the franchise. He is the culture in so many different ways. And he provided, you know, more moments than virtually anyone has for their own franchise during the length of time of his career, which could have been an even better career, obviously, if not for the injuries. I mean, I think Dwayne could have finished the top 15 player ever if not for some of the things that he went through, whether it was the shoulder, the knee, etc. But it's Dwayne, and there should be no argument. There is an argument for people at number two.
There definitely is.
I'm just curious, like, how you would go about, like, what is your, I don't know, like, what are your requirements? What are the credentials to be there second to Dwayne?
Well, see, I do think that there's something to the notion of LeBron being at the height of his powers, but he's not the greatest player in your franchise's history. And I think Alphonse Sidney from Miami Heat Beat said it best when he was like, LeBron may be the best player, basketball player we've ever seen, but like in a Heat jersey, but Dwayne Wade is the greatest Miami Heat player of all time. And if you don't understand that, we're not going to try to explain it to you. And so for me, when we start to talk about after Dwayne, because I think we've settled in on that, there's definitely a portion of the spirit that you kind of want to go in the direction of a guy like Zoe, who has been such a carrier of the culture and such. But this is where I really think in the 4 years he was here at the height of his powers with the results that they had, I don't know how you can not put LeBron James, just the sheer greatness when he was here. We're never going to see anything like that era again. To me, it slots him in for his 4 year window in Miami as the second best of all time, which is crazy to me that he, you know, that you even can say that you had such great players as LeBron James and Dwayne Wade at the top of the franchise.
I don't think it could be anybody but LeBron. And I say that with total reverence for a couple of the guys we're going to speak about next. But here's the part about LeBron and Heat fans that I think gets lost. Everybody, you know, there's this focus on him leaving, right? And why he left. And there were a bunch of different reasons why he left. Some of them were personal, family related. Some of them did have to do with his boys. Some of them, there were a whole bunch of reasons. And a lot of it had to do, by the way, with the fact that Dwayne was not Dwayne anymore. And that LeBron didn't really have a guy he could count on night after night to be that star sidekick. And I know people are going to say Bosh, but wasn't the same as Dwayne. And then, you know, he saw in Cleveland, okay, Kyrie could kind of be a younger version of Dwayne at that stage. Because I was there the 2013-14 season when everybody was miserable. And one of the people that was miserable was LeBron, because he was finding out from us if Dwayne was playing that night. And he was finding out like 45 minutes before if he was going to have Dwayne Wade or Tony Douglas. Okay. Like this is, again, people forget the context of that, kind of where the big three was. Now, would they have restocked it? You know, I've mentioned Pau Gasol told me flat out that he was likely coming to Miami, but LeBron, it wasn't LeBron told him not to come. He said, I can't guarantee I'll be there. And so Gasol signed a contract with Chicago. They were in on Lowry. They were in on Deng even before they signed him when LeBron left. So they were in on these guys. They would have figured out a way to refashion it, okay, in some way, and account for the fact that Dwayne was not going to be Dwayne. But that was part of it. And there are others in the Heat organization who simply believe to this day that there was nothing they could have done. Now, you could say that's absolving themselves of some guilt, but they will say there's nothing they could have done because LeBron was always intending to go back there because for legacy reasons and other reasons, he knew what the one title there would mean, and that essentially he had decided in 2012. And I remember being at a practice in Cleveland in 2012, and LeBron was asked about it up there, and he kind of left an opening there. And I remember speaking to Adam Mendelsohn, who was handling LeBron's media at the time, and saying, what was this? He says, don't worry about it. It's nothing. Trust me, the Heat didn't think it was nothing, okay, at the time. And they thought essentially a decision was made that he was sort of paving the way to go back to Cleveland. I put all this into context because, again, people focus on the leave, okay? But people forget he chose the Heat in 2010. And he elevated the franchise to a place that it wasn't even when they had Shaq, even when they won a title in 2006. I mean, you can say you didn't like being the most hated team in the league. You did. as fans, you did. You enjoyed it. You enjoyed the whole us against the world thing and everything that came with it. I was there, okay? I was communicating with all of you on what used to formerly known as Twitter, right? And again, he chose the Heat. He could have chosen any other franchise. They could have gone to New York. He could have chosen the Chicago path. He could have stayed in Cleveland. There's a whole bunch of different things. And so I think that we Heat fans have to get beyond the bitterness of the end, because without the beginning, there would have been no end. And he provided the beginning there. And he was in the 2012-2013 season, I will argue till the end, that was the best version of LeBron James. Now, did he become a more intellectual player, even more so than he was at that time? Over time, yes. But in terms of the athleticism and the IQ meeting, that 27-game winning streak was the best he's ever played. And I covered every one of them, home and road. It was the best he ever played. I mean, literally, not only did he have the 27-game winning streak, but then after Kirk Heinrich kind of body slammed him on the break, whatever, and he complained, and Ainge made his comments, and then Pat's, you know, clapped back with shut the fuck up and manage your own team. Okay, we were in New Orleans, and if you remember what he did in New Orleans that day, he made like 6 threes in the first half. He just went nuts, okay? He constantly responded to the most pressure-packed. People said he didn't make shots at the end of the game. That was bullshit. His clutch numbers were good. He would get blamed for passing to Haslam in Utah and have to rethink his entire decision. All these things that happened, Greg, and yet with the exception of the 2011 finals where he bleeped the bed, okay, and then had to get his head right that offseason, hired a new media person, worked with Akeem, all the things he did, he constantly came through. Constantly came through. Like I mean, even in the – you go back to the Ray Allen shot. Yeah, LeBron missed a shot, made one afterwards. You look at all of these circumstances, the shot over Pierce in Boston, and then just game 6 in Boston alone, okay, which is still, to me, the number one performance of Miami Heat history. I know that people are going to point to Dwayne's game 3 in Dallas. I know Jimmy against Milwaukee. I understand, and we've debated those, okay? But just think of what was on the line. The entire build. They were blowing up the whole damn thing. We were at shoot-around that day, and I remember we were sitting and waiting for it to end. We were at TD Garden, and Ira and I were sitting there saying, okay, where are they training Bosch? And when is they announcing the firing of Spoelstra? Like, that's where this was headed. The night before, I sat at Illegal Seafoods in Boston. I remember can't remember what I did last week. I remember all this stuff of the Big Three era, Greg. I remember, and I was going back and forth with people on Twitter. It is the most despondent I've ever seen Heat fans. They had given up on the whole thing. Remember, Bosch had come back from the injury but wasn't 100% yet. Mm-hmm. And they were playing against this experienced Boston team, the team they didn't want to lose to. And he literally won that game by himself. Now, defensively, other guys on the team played well, but nobody made a basket. Like, he scored 45. What did they end up with that game? Like, 98? Like, he was the only one doing anything. And my column that night was there was some we sat in the crowd at TD Garden. That's where they put us. Great place to be. So we're in the crowd, and literally behind me, there were these typical Celtics fans, you know, slightly racist, you know, going at, you know, the whole deal. Okay, whatever. They were young. And slightly is what I'll take in Boston, because usually it's more than that. And so I said it, not you. So they're behind me, and my column, I knew I wouldn't have time to get to the locker room afterwards because my deadline was so tight. So my column was basically quoting them from the beginning of the night where they were trashing LeBron, to the second and third quarter into the fourth where they're like, please stop. Stop hurting us. Stop. Make it stop. Okay? I mean, that was like literally like he just – until they left with 3 minutes left. I turned around. They were gone. You can't put him anywhere but number two. I'm sorry. I mean, it ended with the two titles. They beat really good teams in the playoffs. Like, they beat a team with Durant, KD, and Harden, and Ibaka. Okay? That was a growing super team. They beat – those Indiana teams were good teams. The Boston teams were a little older, but they were obviously experienced, hard-nosed, pain-in-the-ass teams. And San Antonio team they beat in 13 was an excellent team. And I can't – I know we're going to debate these others, and there's others who started the culture. I can't put – the guy who played at the peak of his powers for basically almost a four-year period for your franchise, chose you over everybody else, I can't put him anywhere but number two, Greg. I can't.
And time heals that wound. I think, like, the further we get away from that, the leaving becomes less and less of a bitter experience, and you start to reflect back on it. And that's why I also think LeBron has kind of taken that spot, because – just historically, you're never going to necessarily – I mean, it's going to be a big ask to ever replicate that era – and also that level of a player coming to Miami in the way that he did, the way that social media just was popping off. I think that that leaves an imprint on that entire era in a different kind of way. And then you talk about everybody rooting against them, and then those fans specifically saying, make it stop. The whole league kind of wanted to say, make it stop. And I think that that also just speaks to what a monumental league moment it was for the big three to come together. So yes, LeBron at number two.
All right. After the break, we'll get to three and four. Going to be more debate over these. I think most people probably assumed that it would be Wade and LeBron probably in that order to start, but now it gets a little bit more complicated. Do you want to mention a great sponsor? The Five Reasons Sports Network. Speaking of complicated, you got a leak in your home or business. You got to reach out to Water Cleanup of Florida right away. It's WCUFL.com. Michael Robert, his entire team based in Boca Raton. They service the entire Tri-County area. Your one-stop water and mold cleanup shop. They'll do everything from beginning to end. If you catch them late, if you don't get the preventative program, you've already got a problem in your place. They'll go through all of it. They do the remediation. They do everything. The evaluation, whole bunch of Asians. They'll then reach out to your insurance company or work with your insurance company. Make sure that you don't get screwed by them. Your one-stop water and mold cleanup shop. Almost 100 five-star reviews on Google. If you've got the schmutz,
they got the guts.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. These days, all of us are operating in an information technology space, and that is dangerous. And that's why I signed up for Incogni. You can find it at incogni.com. That's incogni.com/5floor. That's FIVEFLOOR, name of this podcast. And you get 60% off an annual plan. Now, why should you do this? Because data brokers are out there creating shadow profiles on you that include a frightening amount of personal details. These insights are then used by scammers, total strangers, insurance companies, banks, businesses, and even the government. You want to avoid the identity theft, the increased costs, and all of the things that come with this. So you got to sign up for Incogni. They will go through the entire process with you and begin that data removal. So again, you can be safer in this online space. So check it out, incogni.com. Again, that's incogni.com/5floor, spelled out 5floor, and you get 60% off an annual plan.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this act, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
All right, now it gets harder. Because there's like an obvious eight or nine. And this is one of the reasons I wanted to split this into two episodes. So you have guys who had players who won championships with the Heat, but maybe not as the first option. or the second option. So in one case, one player we're going to discuss, Alonzo Mourning, he is a champion with the Heat, but he wasn't a champion when he was the centerpiece. He was, but he contributed. He contributed greatly to a championship, especially in that one particular game in Dallas in Game 6 in 2006. Okay. You've got another guy who has been the face of a build, although it feels like that's waning now, just based on this offseason. But with Jimmy Butler, you never know. But we're already 5 years through this, okay? And you can argue that other than the first two guys we talked about, he provided the most moments. And you maybe even argue he's right there with the two of them in terms of moments and unexpected moments, at least to a certain degree. Then you've got another guy in Chris Bosh who was the third guy and won championships, and they probably don't win the two championships, or at least both, without him. Because of how important he was, and they couldn't replicate the things that he did. You've got Shaquille O'Neal, who delivered. I mean, he wasn't the focal point of it, but he delivered, and actually before it, which is he delivered his promise, which is to win a championship in Miami. And actually his first season was better than the championship season. He probably should have been MVP. Now, there aren't as many Shaq moments in Miami. Like, I have a hard time. It's funny, when you talk about Shaq, I'm like, okay, remember that game in Miami? And I don't really, and I covered the team, not to the same extent I did the big three, but I don't, like, do we think of like the Shaq game? In my, there's a couple, but not to the extent that there is for Jimmy, Dwayne, or LeBron, right? No, or even Chris.
Yeah, you're right. It was more him coming and legitimizing Miami in a different kind of way, I think was a big part of it. Like, when you think of Shaq moments, I think he had like a 30-20 game in a closeout in Chicago. Like, I can remember that. But you're right. There's less of those that you can really think about, but it was more the monumental shift that Dwayne and the trajectory that Dwayne was on, that it kind of took that entire build to another level. But you're right. He kept a promise, and kind of the water guns on the front steps of the arena may be the moment with Shaq. You know what I mean? When he kind of announced him being in Miami and what it was going to be about. And you felt like you took another step as a franchise with your attention around the league. But and you're right, Jimmy Butler is another guy that needs consideration here, especially with what he's done. But for me, with everything that went on throughout Alonzo Mourning's career, him being the first piece that Pat brought in to kind of anchor what he was doing in Miami, and then to tie a bow on it by being such an instrumental part of the championship team, the first title in franchise history, the moments, you talk about the moments. Alonzo Mourning had many of them. And so that's where, for the culture heads out there, they probably wanted Zoe even higher on this list. I couldn't really go there, but I feel like this is where I would probably rank Alonzo Mourning third.
Well, this is the tough one. And let's start here. I'm not going to put Shaq there. Okay, so we'll take him out, even though there was a championship there, and even though he started ahead of Zoe on the 06 team. And even though he was a decoy that helped Dwayne do what he did, but I think sometimes we give Shaq too much credit for moving out of the way for Dwayne. I don't really think he had a choice. Because Shaq was not the same Shaq. The conditioning had started to go back the other direction again, and you know, his 2005-2006 season was uneven. I mean, he was hurt. He was a big reason Stan... And there were personal issues. Obviously, Stan was dealing with a whole bunch of things, but he didn't want Stan to coach him anymore. And that was a big part of it. I've told this story before, I think, on the pod, but I was with Shaq for a photo shoot he did at the Delano with Tiki Barber, former. No, I'm sorry, not Tiki Barber. Another one with Tiki, but this one was with Warwick Dunn. Okay. If you're familiar with Warwick's Dunn, former running back, played at FSU, played for the Bucks. He's basically built houses for low-income people all over Florida and elsewhere. He's done tremendous work. So USA Today was doing a big cover story on the two of them and their charity work off the court. So they needed a photo shoot, and they decided to do it on South Beach. And somehow I got picked to write the story about this. So I was with Shaq all day. This was after like the 05 playoffs, okay? And I swear to you, he didn't know me that well. He spent the whole day complaining about Stan. The whole day. Well, that and speaking Italian to the models and Spanish to the models that were walking through. But other than that, like, we went up. I mean, he had to go, like, do three changes, all the kinds of – and it was just, you know, fucking Stan, fucking this, fucking that. So, like he entered that second season in totally, like, the wrong frame of mind. And, of course, Stan got – you know, well, Stan left, okay? But, again, a whole bunch of factors that played into that. And, like, Shaq, he kind of helped – during the end of that 05-06 regular season, once Pat came back, because Pat assumed the coaching duties when Shaq came back from injury, which was, you know, the whole thing kind of played out kind of conveniently that way. And then, of course, Pat got that team, which was, you know, a mess of personalities. I mean, Haslam calls it the craziest team he's ever played with. He got that team on board enough, and that when Dwayne exploded, blew up, okay, they were able to win a title. But it's just hard for me with Shaq, and that's why I can't put him on this episode at all. He's not going to be in my top four. It's hard for me with Shaq to get away from some of the stuff that went on that year, and also just kind of the way he killed the franchise on the way out. Like, I you know, the
agreed.
I mean, Chris Quinn is still in the organization, like trashing Chris Quinn and Ricky Davis at the end and all that. And I like Shaq, but it was petty. The whole thing was petty, and I to this day I don't really understand why Heat fans are angrier at LeBron for the way he departed as opposed to the way Shaq departed. I have trouble with that because LeBron didn't trash anybody in the organization on the way out. In fact, LeBron was kind of, and I was in Cleveland the next year and I was around LeBron a lot. He was kind of hurt by the way that Heat fans, and I know Heat fans are like, he didn't thank us and all. He did thank them. He took him a while, but he did a thank you video on Bleacher Report. I'm not saying he handled it the best. He did not. Okay. But he was more hurt by the way that I think some things that Pat said, others said, whereas Shaq, I don't know. Shaq just took some cheap shots on the way out.
LeBron, well, and he literally left fist fighting Riley and them having to be separated. So like there was literal bad blood in different kind of ways there. I'm with you. I feel like Shaq's arrival was epic. His first season in Miami, he was amazing. I think that, he was an MVP candidate. There's no doubting that. But then it was a decline and all the way out until the trade happened. So for me, I'm with you. I think we can eliminate Shaq here. But then it starts to get interesting with who you slot in.
Well, there's two, I think, right? I mean, are we in agreement on this? It's Zoe and Jimmy?
Yeah. I mean, is CB part of this conversation at all? I think that he was.
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so.
I'm with you.
I love him to death and he provides, but he was never leaned upon as the number one guy. I mean, he kind of was starting to be, and then the blood clots, right? Like their pivot in 2014 was really around him, not around Dwayne. I mean, he was the one that they paid to keep away from Houston. They refashioned the offense so it would go through him, but we never really got to see it. I mean, in that first year, they weren't very good. I mean, right? And then in the second year, it was, honestly, the team took off when Chris went out and they put Deng at the four. Like, that's kind of what happened. And then there was the whole debate about whether Chris could come back or not. It's great to see he's going to be back on the court. And he got cleared for Dragic's special event this week. And I love the fact that these guys are – or next week. I love the fact that these guys are coming out for Goran's event. And hopefully Goran's going to get his wish someday, which he told me he wants to be working in the Heat front office someday, which I think international coordinator would be a great place to put him, just if anybody needs any suggestions. But I love CB, one of my top five favorite players I've ever covered. I don't think you can put anybody in the top four who wasn't asked to lead. I just don't. Like, and Dwayne was asked to lead. LeBron was asked to lead basically because he was asked to lead everybody, even if he wasn't the captain. And these two guys, Zoe and Jimmy, have been, even though, you know, Jimmy hasn't been a captain either. He's not the captain now, but the franchise has fallen on his shoulders. So to me, this is a Zoe Jimmy debate. And I'll say this. I'm ready to go Jimmy.
Wow.
And I know that's surprising coming from me. I know, but maybe it's different. Again, if those Zoe teams get past the Knicks, they lost them three straight times. Like if you put a challenge in front of Jimmy, like, they had to get past Boston. Well, okay, so they didn't do it the first year. They did it the next, right? I mean, he accomplished it. Milwaukee, I mean, Giannis is like a generational player in his own conference. And I mean, we can argue about, you know, Giannis's injuries in these series, but the reality is Jimmy was the best player in those series. And you know, I'm not a fan of everything Jimmy does behind the scenes and all that. And I'm you know, hesitant on giving him the extension if he's not going to play more than 60 games and he's not going to play half of them hard. But look at all the moments, though. And I know Zoe was the first. I know they built the thing on Zoe's back, and there's an alignment with Pat there. You know, obviously he became the extension of Pat. He made them a credible franchise, but Jimmy's done something, and we mentioned this on a previous episode, like Jimmy's done something I didn't think was possible, which is after the LeBron, Dwayne, Chris era, to make the fans care as passionate about the franchises they have. After that, after you achieved the pinnacle with two championships, but did it with such style and being the, you know, the, and then like to have another era that has had its down points, but it's also had two finals, an extra conference finals. And just, I'm just thinking back to the performance against Milwaukee alone, like that's, I mean, other than, like I said, other than LeBron performance, is arguably the best performance I've ever seen live. I don't know. I'm ready.
Leading those two finals teams and the performances, like you think about what he did in the bubble against LA, and like the epic photo of him underneath the basket, gasping for air and slumped over, like carrying the team. And then also, as great as he played throughout that run to the finals, you know, kind of also playing through injuries and still being great in moments throughout all of this. I guess when you talk about in the span of time he's been in Miami for him to have accomplished what he has, I see the argument. I've always kind of thought of Zoe as just such a pillar up top for them that it was hard for me to move off this, but you've kind of talked me into it. And I think that this extension and the way that he finishes in Miami in some ways could shape where he ultimately falls. And that'll be an interesting way to watch this unfold. But in his short time in Miami, he made the team matter again. He also chose Miami. They had no cap space and found a way to get there. He had to kind of say, I want to go there. And that kind of just, they figured it out. That was a big moment for the Heat to kind of regroup this thing. And then it's outperformed, I think, everyone's expectations. So you make a great case. I'm ready to also move Jimmy Butler up to number three.
All right. Well, then in that case, you'll get the tiebreaker next time. Because, you know, I'm going to poll this. And I feel like it's going to poll in Jimmy's favor anyway, just because we deal with a more contemporary Heat fan on social media and on Discord. And so if you're, I would say 40 or up, I think you might lean Zoe here a little bit, because he might have been the first one who really got you interested in the Heat. Because again, let's be honest, like the Heat franchise was floundering a little bit. Like they'd had a lot of high draft picks, but Glenn Rice, Steve Smith, really the only ones that panned out to a significant degree. They had Cycli, they had Sherman Douglas, they had, you know, a few others. Harold Miner was kind of a bust. They'd gone through, you know, Kevin Lockery, you know, after Rothstein, Alvin Gentry, et cetera. Pat comes in, and then it's, okay, we have our guy. Number two pick in the draft, guy who was like a consensus All-American. Everybody saw him play at Georgetown. That's when you actually watched college basketball throughout the season. You got to know these guys. And after Shaq, like, this was the guy, you know, they had the contract dispute in Charlotte. Pat went and got him, like, first of many disgruntled players that he's added as like cornerstone type pieces of the franchise. We're going to talk about a lot of those. Of course, Heat fans wish that was still happening, but at the time, that Zoe was the first. And then to come back after some bad blood, which people forget about. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, he wasn't happy with the, I mean, you know, the Arisons gave him a plane so he could get back and see the birth of his child. And yet here Zoe was at Zoe's summer groove, trashing the organization. Like there was some ugly stuff at that point, but just like Dwayne, he came back, and unlike Dwayne, he won a championship when he came back, and he did contribute to it. So he spans the eras. Obviously, you know, he's there with Timmy, and then he was there with Dwayne. And so I have enormous respect for him, and I've gotten to know him more personally since he was difficult to cover as immediate member. But like since he's mellowed to a large degree, and I just have great respect for him in a lot of areas of life. But I'll just say this, the way that we were anticipating Jimmy Butler playoff games, okay, Zoe never had that.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? Well, he's just going to carry us. And
Timmy did more of that back in the 90s.
Exactly. And he's going to be one of those that's interesting to see if he gets into our next show of 5 through 8, because he's going to be one of the candidates. But Timmy was, in a lot of ways, the engine of those things. Like, Zoe was, you know, Zoe was the passion and all that, but Timmy was the barometer. If Timmy played at a high level, like, that team was hard to beat. I got to go Jimmy at this stage. I would say Jimmy third. And I think that will surprise some people. But my view on what he needs to give to the franchise now to be worth it for them going forward in where they are in this build is different from what he's contributed over the past 5 years. It's two different things. All right, so there we are. We've gotten through the first four. We got D-Wade, LeBron, Butler, and Zoe. I think Greg and I will do 5 through 8 as a separate episode. Then we might do like 9 through 16 together after that. So get your Mo Harkless, your Myers Leonards, make your suggestions on Discord. We'll try to get all these in. Travis Best, Cedric Ceballos, lots of Kevin Edwards, lots of Heat players that we're going to consider as we go forward. Thanks to our sponsors, Water Cleanup of Florida, WCUFL.com, and Prize Picks. Use code 5.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.